Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I don't know. I got a back
have you
scratcher.
Been snorting caffeine again.
Nope. Huh. You got that blue crystal now. We're on to it. Woo-wee!
Blue crystal.
Careful. We're not allowed to talk about anything illegal. We've discovered that members of the police from both continents listen to this show now.
Oh, no.
We're in big trouble.
Oh, no.
Not that we've ever said anything or encouraged anything that's in any way illegal.
Well, the thing about it is this is a character that I play. It's not really me.
This is all parody. And anyone who's spoken to me knows that I am definitely a parody.
And the globalists know it!
Oh,
sorry.
So let me just get this right, okay? Because my mind's a little bit blown right now. Okay. There is a film called Empire on...
And an album, too.
Amazon Empire. Prime.
Queensryche.
No. This is not anything to do with Queensryche. It is called Empire. Oh. It is about amplifiers and tone in general, and neither of you two have heard about it.
Nope.
I haven't watched a film in a long time.
But it's about amps and tone.
It's a big commitment. It's a commitment.
It is a
commitment. If you're
going
to watch a movie, that's a...
It's an hour and a half, Bri.
I'm struggling to make it through a three-minute TikTok over here.
That's not because of commitment issues.
You're asking me for 90 minutes?
I can't
be asked to make that sort of commitment.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there big sandworms in it?
No, but I tell you, I could go on a whole Dune extravaganza because I watched...
Well, I'm just getting into Dune, so... Yeah,
so I just watched the new Dune, then I watched the old Dune, and then I watched Jodorowsky's Dune, which is the documentary about the unmade Dune film. I'll talk about that in a bit. But anyway, back to the film Empire, Bri.
Never heard of it.
Blake.
Queensryche album.
The clue is in the name, Empire. And let me tell you, it's full of all of our favorite people. There are lots of people in it.
Can you do me a favor? Can you say Empire?
Empire.
Now say Empire.
Empire.
Same damn thing.
Okay. Empire. Is that better?
Empire.
Empire. I know.
This film,
no,
right?
Empire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, at one point... they tell the story of why the Beatles had to get their amps cranked because of not being able to hear themselves at a stadium over there. They talk about the formation of various amp companies and like how certain models came to be. But there's a bit where it goes from Pete Thorne to Jorma Kekkonen, who is the guitarist from Jefferson Airplane, to Robbie Krieger, the guitarist from The Doors, back to Pete Thorne.
Oh, that's
again.
Why I haven't seen it.
And I'm like,
Pete's in it?
Pete's in it. And I'm like,
really?
Somebody I work with is bookending a lot of interesting information by two guitar players from legendary 60s American bands that I absolutely stand in my youth. And I'm like,
well, if Pete's in it, I might be encouraged to watch it.
I'm like, sometimes this industry is pretty cool.
Well, it's so weird though. They've got like a list. I'm looking at the cover.
Joe Bonamassa features heavily. Clearly, he's
like
doing
Joe.
A lot.
That's fine.
Yet.
That guy's got lots of. He's got lots of amps. He's got lots to say about him. We got John.
John
Five,
features quite heavily as well.
And I've never talked to John, but I would like to.
I mean, yeah.
Paul Gilbert
features very heavily, and we.
I like
so,
Paul as well.
There is a bit
Pat
Bri
Metheny,
now. Hold
Lita
on.
Ford.
I got to say a couple of things. First of all, Lita Ford says some very, very disturbing things about guitar pedals, Bri. And I know that you have got like a sensitivity to bad things on film. Gets to that bit, when you see Lita Ford with her silly guitar, turn it down. Don't watch.
I have to take it in context, right? So when it's like, when it's someone that's... when their time in history and music did not really have a whole lot to do with guitar pedals, I get it. You know, it's like, all right, well, you're not like a guitar.
She played the rock
person.
Guitar, Bri. It's not like when you see Pat Metheny doing it and you're like, yeah, you're a jazz guitar. Fine, you're going to play through that. And Lita Ford is saying pedals are the devil's instrument, which essentially she does.
It's like if you hear Angus Young talk about guitar pedals, he's like, I just crank an amp up. I get it. That's what you do and that's what you did. And Lita Ford's kind of that way for me as well. Like, she's not a person that I really associate with having a gigantic pedal board. You know, I just don't associate that with her songs.
Which,
because it was mostly rock. It was most like straight up rock stuff, you know.
Which, by the way, we've had a lot of good feedback on our rocky metal conversation from the previous week. A lot of people have come back.
I don't even remember having that conversation.
Okay, well, there is no reason for you to have forgotten it. It was excellent, and you were sober. But let's just move on.
It's like I've been through 1,000 different conversations since then. But sure. When I edit the podcast today, I'm sure I'll remember it.
So. I doubt it. Well,
you know how we spent like 40 minutes discussing the roots of heavy metal in the United States? Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to point out, if other people have come back and said that they enjoyed it, the chances are that you've probably already edited it and forgotten about it.
Did I edit that?
Well, they've heard it, so I'm guessing so. But anyway, back to this film, Bri. It's got all of the people who kind of we talk about talking about tone and amps and valves and history and music. It's a great film. And here we are today. I only actually found out about it today on a random thread on Pedal Boards of Doom, I think. And neither of you two have heard of it. And like, it's like, I was kind of expecting to see people I work with turn up, like other than Pete, clearly. But I was expecting to kind of see Arvi talk about the boutique amp industry because it's that. Right? He knows an awful lot about it and he's been in it a long time.
He's built half the amps that exist out there.
Right. But I think this must have been filmed around the pandemic or something. But anyhow, check it out. It's on Amazon. It's free. Empire. Okay?
Free, eh? That's a very good price.
Well, it is.
It is a free, you get to be a Prime.
Amazon member. Prime, sorry. I'm assuming you've
got to be a Prime member. Gotcha. You have to be one of those.
Speaking of, Disney stuck their prices up.
I'm pretty sure you're a Prime member, yes, aren't you, Brian?
I am one of those people.
Yeah. I was just looking at the Amazon boxes stacked up in a mountain behind you and wondering, you know, maybe you were.
Yeah, there's a few Amazon boxes behind me.
Well, thanks for the info, Richard. You're right. You know, you talked to us about this before the show, and you didn't give us any details. Basically, here's the sneak peek, listeners. He was like, hey, have you ever heard of a movie called Empire? And Brian and I were like, nope. And he's like, well, say no more. I'll save it for the podcast. And now I'm going
to roast you live.
Yeah, I probably should have heard of this before. I feel like I should have heard of this.
You wait till you see it, dude. Like, honestly, both of you, when you watch it, you'll be like, how have I only just discovered about this 2 years after it was released? But probably because it had a limited release and has only just come to Amazon and therefore hit our radars.
I haven't heard anyone else talk about it. I guess that's why I haven't heard of it.
This is almost as bad as if we had never heard of the Pedal movie.
It's almost
that bad. Yeah.
This is the amp equivalent of the Pedal movie. Except it's more players than it is manufacturers, which isn't quite the case in the other film. But it is, you're going to love it, Bri, because there's a lot of people talking about the history of tone and amps and what makes good tone.
Do they have a TikTok channel I can just watch like 1 minute segments?
Soon you're going to get less and less music on TikTok, I read today. Universal.
What do you mean?
Well, Universal have banned all their music from being on TikTok, but also any artist that's had songs written by Universal artists also have their songs removed. And apparently it's going to end up in about 30% of TikTok's music going mute because the Universal Music Group, as its name implies, is a pretty big deal in the world of music publishing.
Sure. Like, they couldn't reach some sort of contractual agreement, I guess. I'm assuming Universal
wanted
more.
Do I look like a lawyer? Do I have lawyer written on my shirt? I know nothing of their contractual shenanigans.
I don't want to break the fourth wall, people, but he literally has the words attorney scribbled on his forehead. I don't know why or what that means, but he does. So, yeah. Yeah, you kind of do. all that to say.
It's me trying to give you guys code word. I'm in trouble. You need to help me out. That's why I've got it written on my forehead. Get me an attorney. Okay.
Get me an attorney. I'm being sued.
I mean, let's see how this episode goes, because maybe by the end of it, we can put myself in a legally threatening position.
But I'm guessing what has happened here, because they're both kind of slinging mud at each other, basically. TikTok saying Universal wants us to pay an unreasonable amount. Universal's like, TikTok is, blah. And then they're just fighting. Who do you think's going to win? That's the real question.
I feel that the whole technosphere is in a point of really large explosive flux right now. I feel that
I've had some of that before after too much Taco Bell.
Yeah, I think it can happen.
Usually try a good couple Tums takes care of that.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like social media is getting worse in so many ways.
No, it's never been better. It's such a positive sphere of influence whenever you just read through comments.
But also, it's amazing. AI, which I know we mustn't talk too much about AI because this is a guitar show, but it's pervading every part of our lives. And it's not making everything better. Like, we can see what Sora's going to do with the video stuff. It's going to be insane. And it's probably, I've already heard of like one studio holding off their expansion plans because of Sora, because essentially they're like, maybe I don't need to build a film studio and a set.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about that as well.
Yeah.
So Tyler Perry.
That's
we should probably say what Sora is for people. Sora is like the ChatGPT version of creating your own videos now.
By OpenAI, isn't it?
Same company. It is, yeah. It's essentially the DALL-E for video.
Right. And of course, that means that they're not going to be the only ones that do it. Everyone else will do it as well.
Although
and
there's a lot of controversy around Google's AI at the moment, which I find out from Gemini, Elon Musk. He hates them.
Gemini's radically mediocre.
Sure. That's a great name for a band, Bri. Radically mediocre. Oh,
I just know that because I've been called that so much.
and mainly today, I think, like multiple times.
Yeah. Every time I put out a pedal or a video, it's radically mediocre.
Oh, well, that's a nice segue in a minute. But beforehand, I'm just going to say, did you guys see this AI thing that blew up in the UK today? A company that is selling a Willy Wonka-inspired theme park, which is essentially a bare warehouse with nothing in it other than some rainbows and lollipops, used AI to create all its marketing materials. And as a result, the UK police have got involved because what was promised and what was delivered, let's just say, in very real, contractually obligational terms, were like light years apart. And then I saw like they did a post with AI and they didn't name check it because when you like ask AI to make a poster and include words, sometimes it spells the words funkily. Like they're not quite the right words. It did this. There were words on it like listen to the merry tunes, and tune was spelt T-U-N-S. It's like no one checked it.
Tons?
Tons.
That's not how you spell tons.
No.
You said it was spelled funkily, like Parliament Funkadelic, or like, what do you mean?
These pictures are wildly mediocre.
These are beyond radically mediocre, right? These are depressingly mediocre.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm really confused because we've got what is clearly, regardless of if you can tell it's AI or not, on the left, we have a photo that is definitely not real. It's just like a fantastic,
colorful
like fantasy
balls and
world.
Lollipops, but none of them quite make sense.
Yeah, but like impossible things that couldn't possibly exist. And then on the right, we have
a pink
basically
spiral.
Foam cutouts. Yeah.
Three in an empty foam cutouts.
Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In an
abandoned my question
warehouse
is, how did,
in Scotland,
how did anybody think that it was going to look anything like the image on the right, regardless of what the real outcome was?
I know earlier I said about wanting to get into something legally threatening, but I probably don't actually. So I'm not going to give you my view. I'm just going to say that it does appear that what was promised and what was delivered were not the same. And that might be termed by some people as fraudulent. I don't know. I'm not an expert. Phew.
So hold on. I'm trying to understand here. So if you go to an event and you're not happy with the event, you can just call the police?
That's what I'm confused about. That's what it sounds like.
What are you calling the police for? I'm unhappy. I'd like to report a crime.
I say, good sir, I was promised I would be floating through space on a vintage lollipop. And by Jove, I tell you, it is nothing but styrofoam.
I mean,
Scotland Yard, arrest this man. Like Scotland Yard, arrest this man now. Is that how that works?
That's how I'm picturing it.
It's kind of how it must. There must have been some seriously angry people who were saying, we're demanding a refund and not being given it. It is in Scotland, and they're not known for their calm temperament in the Highlands. So this also...
No, they're not.
This looks like the sort of attraction that would be aimed at a certain social level, you know, probably more working class people generally. And they are much more defensive of their money because it's harder for them to earn the money. So they would have been ramped up in the angry stakes, I reckon. I would not have liked to have been one of the poor staff who worked there. But anyway, it's all over the UK news today. But I had to raise it because it was the most depressing use of AI I have seen so far. That's not a regular feature, listeners, I promise you. This week's most depressing use of AI.
Most depressing, pressing, pressing, pressing. Use.
Brian has a machine that does that now. He just forgets he has it and never turns it back on.
I know, I forget I have it, so it's all right. It's wildly mediocre as well.
has someone hurt you, Bri? Do you want to show me on the doll where they hurt you?
Someone said something mean about me on the internet. It hurt my feelings.
My feelings are hurt.
My feelings are hurt. Somebody said my pedals were no good.
I apologize for that, Bri, but it's true. They are no good. They're terrible pedals. You should be buying them from...
You just don't have much of a team behind you. That's the problem.
The back all at once. He's right, Bri. Should get rid of your team. I don't get people who say nasty things about any product unless it is... lollipop related.
Unless it is this AI event.
Right.
But let's focus on something a little bit more cheerful in the world of pedals, Bri. Aren't you releasing a new pedal tomorrow? Aren't you? Aren't we releasing a new pedal, I should say?
Indeed I am.
I'm not releasing a new pedal.
So. I mentioned this on, I think it was the Men the Helm podcast.
You mean you leaked it? Is that what you mean?
I licked it.
Yeah. I licked it. Yeah, you leaked it. You did.
Have you been licking toads? Yeah. Talking of lick, because you've gone weird today. There's definitely something in the air.
That's it means leaked.
In Indiana, it does.
In Indiana, it's a little more of a dialect thing. Yeah, I done licked it.
I done licked it.
You talked about what pedal?
Oh, I'm sorry. So the pedal is called the. It is a take on the elusive 1176 compression circuit, and it is called the Ego 76.
I mean, that's where you should have added the echo noise. Just going to let you know that, but
yeah. I don't have it queued in right now. I'd have to turn it off.
76.
Okay. I mean, I can do it. Let me do it here real quick. Let's see.
Please make him turn on the rat distortion.
Ego 76. That do it? Oh, I forget. Ego
76. There we go. You found it. There brilliant. Professional.
I'd get it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Seamless, actually, Bri. It's like we're part of some Hollywood production with Atmos Sound Studios.
Love that reverb from Pyle, four-channel studio mixer. Fantastic reverb.
It almost sounds, just exactly like delay. Interesting.
And oddly enough, it's wildly mediocre as well. I'm surrounded by
it. Stop saying wildly mediocre. We're here to talk about your pedal, Bri. And it is definitely anything but wildly mediocre. I'm just going to...
No, it's cool, man. So it's a totally different type of compression, right? So with the regular Ego, it's basically built on like the Ross Dynacomp sort of thing, right? And this one is a FET compressor. So... the problem,
Boba Fett?
I know there's other 1176 pedals out. I'm gonna exclude the, what's it called? The UA Audio one, because that's digital, and this is not digital, this is analog. But with the other analog-based 1176 compressors, I like them, but there's a problem whenever you run a guitar circuit into that type of topology, and then right. expect it to do what the 1176 does. Because the 1176 was designed to really, you're going to be miking something, and then you're going to take that mic signal and you're going to run it through this, and it's going to kind of make it bigger and fatter and just more lively.
So that's what I was going
to
say.
And that just doesn't happen when you run a guitar into it. So I had to like create a FET-style circuit that did that.
When I've tried 76-style compressors, they sound great, but they're very different to kind of how I expected a 76 to sound based on using 76 style plugins in Pro Tools. So I was like, yeah, I can't dial this in the same. This is difficult for me to get that kind of, it's really hard to, it's a level of articulation that you get with a 76. There's just something special about it in a mixing or a virtual mixing environment. But right. what I love about the Ego 76 is that without hardly any dialing in and completely not even looking at any of your settings, which, by the way, I'll talk about on the Patreon. We'll talk more about this pedal on the Patreon. We'll give more info away there. It just yeah, it
good
does
idea.
Something.
The pedal releasing, put it on the channel.
No, we're talking about it now, Bri. I'm trying to get more people interested in the Patreon. If I say this and then advertise it in advance, we might get 1.5 more people to patriize us.
I'm allowed to be hateful and mean.
That's I mean, you're very hateful culture. And mean.
It's
today.
Part of being wildly mediocre.
It's part of being radically mediocre.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm doing my best to try and be excited
so
for you.
I got a question. Can I ask some questions about this pedal?
You're making it
I
don't
have
hard.
One. And
yeah.
And you guys always kick me out at the end of the podcast. You're like, okay, now we have to talk business. Blake, leave. And so I have to leave.
We don't mind if you stay. It's just very boring. We talk numbers.
It's literally. Not boring because I get the juicy, juicy bits before everybody else. Like,
so
but
you guys
not
are
time.
Having a problem getting spin chips, huh? Really? How much are you paying for it? Anyways.
How much are you paying? Yeah, what are you guys getting? You guys got any of them Wima caps?
Wiener caps?
Did you say wiener caps?
I'm not capping my wiener for you, Sonny Jim.
I'd like some Eckridge capacitors, please.
Please. Please
Oscar Mayer's just not doing it for me. Anyways, go ahead.
Anyway, so the ins and outs on this thing. A lot of people and
one in,
you
know, one
you
out.
You guys have
small
got a
note.
Compressor. Oh, okay. Fine. I guess. That's. I don't have any
Were
more
Were you
going to
ask if it's stereo?
No, I was going to ask if it had XLR.
No, it does not.
So it's very focused on making the 76 style circuit work for guitar players.
For guitar, yeah. So mm-hmm. you're kind of again, you're changing. It's not an exact 1176 topology because it just doesn't work that well in this situation when you run a guitar into it and expect it to do what that does. So it's still mm-hmm. a FET style compressor, but I'm using not only FETs but op amps and a bunch of other stuff to like
some
get
resistors.
That sort of sound. And some resistors. There are resistors in there.
There are
as well.
Resistors in there.
Yeah. There's
I'm
even
learning.
An LED. Believe it or not, there's even an LED on there. But the whole idea is to really get that sort of sound. I would really run my dirt into it versus like before it. So typically, I would run like my standard Ego or a Ross style compressor before my dirt. Mm-hmm. But with this, I would probably put it after because that's kind of what you're doing with 1176 in the studio, right? So, mm-hmm. and I would really, so I would basically have exaggerated compression settings and then I would ride that blend back because a lot of times you're using a lot of parallel compression with 1176 circuit. And that's kind of, that's what's going to give you that thing that people love about the 1176.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm going to sum
thing.
It up really simply for you, Blake. You know, when people say this is an always on pedal for me, this genuinely is an always on pedal for me. Like,
yeah.
It can absolutely sweeten every guitar without any effort at all. What
except
it does
for really Lita Ford's.
Except for Lita Ford and her weird guitar.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, honestly, like, so if a person's like, I really love that early 90s compression thing on country songs or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, you want more of a Ross or Dynacomp style thing. That's what was going on back then. But if you want something more modern and it, you know, not even necessarily country at all, like it'd be anything with ringing chords, anything dirt or clean, that's just, you know how you take a Sonic Maximizer or BBE and you turn it on, it's like, wow, that's an instant change. It doesn't do that, but it's the same sort of thing to your ear where like, you're like, it just sounds bigger. It's not that it has more bass.
I mean,
it's like an expansion of sound.
Yeah, it's real simple. You just got to have one and try it because it's the first compressor I've owned since one that I got rid of that I kind of regretted getting rid of that plays really, really well in every setup I've got and with other compressors. So as Brian says, running it after an Ego can create some amazing results. But genuinely, it just polishes your tone completely. It's literally, for me, it is a tone polisher, which I thought was going to be my job when you first employed me, but I'm sad to say that.
I think you were supposed to polish knobs, not tones.
You did not employ me as a knob polisher. I would never have taken that. My British sense of double entendre would never have
Brian,
let
how,
me.
Brian, how would that even work? Not all of your knobs are even aluminum. How is he going to polish all of that? I'm so confused.
You know, you take a little buffing rag and you just wipe off the knobs real well so they're nice and shiny.
So you use like a headlight buffing compound for the plastic
like
knobs?
That, yeah, okay. a good rubbing compound, yeah.
All right. We wet sand them at all.
No wet sanding. No, you don't want to do that.
You don't
that.
Get in there with like a 1200 grit or something and, you know, get the swirl marks out?
I suppose one could get the swirl marks out of their knob if they're having problems. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm struggling here, listeners. I really am.
I can visually see Richard.
Ooh, matron. Hold on. There it goes. Slipping. Oh, hold on. Get it back. I wish you were.
Can you imagine just seeing somebody just like pouring water all over their pedal, wet sanding it down?
Do not pour water.
I heard on a Chasing Tone podcast, this is how you make your knob shiny.
First, you want to put it in a dishwasher, get all the residue off.
That's right. You don't want any film on there.
I didn't make the grade as knob polisher. I was reassuringly mediocre at that.
Didn't pass the old entrance exam there.
Like, I didn't pass the entrance exam, and Brian does like to ram that down my throat. Now,
oh God,
what, guys? I may or may not have joined a band. Okay, I use the words may or may not because. Since meeting the lead guitarist and singer, I had a text that said, don't learn this set list, learn this set list instead, because the minute I arranged a rehearsal, our singer decided she didn't want to sing with us. So we've gone from being a female and male-fronted band to just a male-fronted band, and the rehearsal
is... Hold on. Real quick. Understand the story correctly, you joined the band and then the singer was like, oh, hold on.
Richard's in it, huh?
Honestly, Blake.
I've heard his podcast before. I'm not going to be around this guy.
I'd be lying if that thought didn't cross my mind. I was like, I wonder if this is someone I know. but anyhow, amusingly, some of the songs were very, well, it's an 80s covers band and some of the songs used very clean, compressed palm muted guitars, and so I was like, Bri, what would you use to get the tone on this? And he of course said, well, I would dial the Ego 76 in like this, and that's kind of the main part of the time. But it's like, you also need a chorus. I'm like, I know, I don't want to take my Terraform out with me. So it's like, why don't you buy one of those Behringer cheap chorus pedals? I'm like, that's actually not a bad shout, because I wanted a like CE2 type chorus. And the Behringer, is it the UC200? Is basically a CE2 clone, but costs £25 only. How do they do it so cheaply? Well, the lack of a proper foot switch probably helped. The plastic enclosure probably helped. But still, it sounds great, Bri, for £25.
It's amazing how whenever you arrange like electronic components in a way that it was, you know, designed to be arranged, that it sounds almost like another pedal with the components arranged in the same way.
I was going to say, it also helps if you build them in your own city in China. Anyway.
Well, I mean,
you know.
I don't know.
Did any of us want to make a child labor joke while we were at it, just to cover all legal bases?
I didn't say anybody was doing anything. I said it might help.
Might help.
That's what I said.
Well, none of us really know, but it's a great budget pedal. But I do have various new band related questions, Bri. I mean, one of them. I think I might buy like a HX1, like the mini Line 6 modeler stompy thing, because I don't want to take a big board out with me. I don't want to be the guy that turns up to the first rehearsal with a board that's 6 foot long and has 62 different pedals on it, all of them tube screamers. That's not a good way of starting. So I'm like, I just want a bit of delay. I'll probably take the Fotape Echo because it's the quickest to dial in. And then I might just take
Zoom 505, my man.
Well,
or you get the modern version, you get the Line 6 HX1.
Well, that's what I was just saying.
I want the vintage digital.
No, I want the modern digital. The more modern, the better.
Hell, vintage is always better.
The vintage is always better. Just ask somebody on Reddit.
I mean, this is how I was thinking, Blake. That HX1 is basically all the effects off the HX stomps. And if I took, let's say, the Friedman IRX, then I'd have the ability to have IRs and a two-channel amp on a pedal board. So that and that little HX stomp is probably all I'd need to take, right?
The thing I think... So I talked about the HX1 really extensively when I did Gear of the Year with Guitar Nerds. And I was the Debbie Downer of the group about it, that a lot of people were like pulling for it to win. And I go, that thing is very useful, very cool, and I think probably rather important release. But it is a little boring. However, your use case here is the whole, I mean, I think it's the perfect pedal for it.
I think so, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, from a utility perspective. Yeah.
And no one cares really about my tone. I'm going to be, you know, not even front of band guitarist, because the singer also plays guitar. So some of the songs we're doing, like the guitar parts, are so minimal. I'm like, do you want me to play bass on that instead? Because they don't have a bass player. So I'm also going to be doing some bass. But,
on purpose?
Well, no, but there are songs like that just don't need another guitarist on. Like, I know it's hard to imagine, Bri, because you would just...
I don't get it.
They're kind of poppy songs, Bri. They rely heavily on key. I mean, one of them is Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police. Basically, from what I can see, that just involves two notes and a lot of palm muting. There's very little that goes on guitar-wise in that song.
Have you all thought about doing some docking? Or maybe some Lynch Mob?
Two of the songs on the set list, which are the two that I am going to have to learn, are Animal by Def Leppard and, what's the one by Bon Jovi? Not the one I wanted to do, but the one I really didn't want to do. Born to Be My Baby.
Oh, born to be. You were born to be my baby. Baby, I was made to be your man.
You know what? The sonic resemblance is uncanny.
Has Brian left the room and has John Bon Jovi just entered? Because I swear, John? I just heard him, Blake.
I that had to have been him, right? That was an exact clone.
Richard,
dare I say, is it maybe even an improvement? Perhaps this is like what Brian did with the Tumnus and the clone. I think he just did with his voice and John Bon Jovi. He did it even better and smaller.
Can you imagine if the transformation
on that. More accessible?
You were born to be my baby. Baby, I was made to be your man.
I'm so sorry, listeners. Can you imagine if it's like when the Incredible
it's a full
Hulk
studio recording right there.
And like Brian just started singing that. And his sweatpants turned into blue stonewashed denim. And like his hair kind of grew out from underneath his hat in a kind of John Bon Jovi a la 1985 or whenever this came out. So there's a bit of rock to learn. We can only hope.
There's some good guitar songs in there. I mean, Phil X plays some Bon Jovi, you know?
Yeah.
He's been known to play some Jovi every now and then.
There is some difficult guitar in Born to Be My Baby. The solo's got a nice, tasty little run in it, which I'll struggle to get.
Richie Sambora's a great guitar player.
Absolutely.
He really is a great guitar player.
Yeah, and then I'm reminded of why I'd never joined this band in the first place. They basically said, we're going to do something by Toto. I'm like, oh, right, you want me to be Steve Lukather. I'm out of here. But I made it very clear.
From Police to Toto. Wow.
I made it very clear I'm far more Eddie Munster than I am Van Halen, so that's fine. We can live with that. But yeah, we'll see. I'm excited, but I'm also... The fact that it went from, we're going to have a rehearsal in a week, here's like five songs to learn, to our singer's just quit, we're going to have a rehearsal in 6 weeks, here's 10 songs to learn, has made me go, That's a lot of commitment to learn 10 songs before your first rehearsal with a band, right?
So is there a plan for a gig? Or is this just, let's get together and see what happens sort of thing?
So they've got a keyboard player who is apparently an absolute wizard on the keyboards. If he doesn't have a cape, I'm walking out. I'm just going to say that straight away. and they have a drummer who sounds like he's solid. He has an electro and an acoustic kit, so probably pretty flexible. And they have the singer-songwriter, the singer-guitar
I don't know
dude.
How you could possibly know that based on his drum kit. I mean, does he even do yoga?
I'd hope so. Goat yoga, at the very least. Okay. But so they have the core, and they've made backing tracks and stuff like that. But Chris admits he's not great on the guitar and singing at the same time. That's the name of the guitar.
So maybe you should play guitar. Let him play the bass.
Right, except some of the songs have literally no guitar. Some of them are literally no guitar at all, Bri.
You need to put some in there. Yeah, turn on some Sedano, you know?
I mean, I did sort of text him and go,
we're going to rock this police song up.
We don't have a saxophonist for this, but I could noodle in G pentatonic over this, and it would sound amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Y'all heard we'll of the see. Finger taps? That's all I'm going to do on this song.
Yep.
I'm excited, and it's given me a bit of purpose in my lessons, because it's like, now I know that I need to learn some things specifically, but I've seen this fall apart before. And the other thing that's very sad is I'm 50 next year, and
we got negative
it.
Ned over here, Blake. Ugh. Got negative Ned.
Oh, Ned, no settle down.
You know, it's just gonna go to hell. I know what it is.
Everything is terrible.
I'm terrible. Life is terrible. Everything's going to hell.
I'm not much of a donkey.
Can I have some of what y'all's been smoking, please? Because, wow, I'm not sure where this episode's ever gone tonight, but it's never gone in the directions I've tried to help you point it.
Eeyore impression we've had on the podcast, so there's a first.
I think so, yeah. I mean, the truth is, Richard, this podcast is an organic thing.
It's a living, breathing, living organism.
You have to go with where it takes you. You can't lead it anywhere.
No.
It goes somewhere and you're along for the ride.
That's right. You just got to be open to it, man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know
this. Yeah, man. Which reminds me, I need to mention the person who said that you should all call me Dick. He doesn't pay us any money, so I'm going to refer to him as, I don't know, how could I say this in a way that didn't give him recognition? Mysterious American Ryan. How about that? Don't even say a surname. It's not Burke either.
Brian Novel, right?
There's some that notes close? That I've got. It's close. I was close? Definitely going to try and say his surname in weird ways. But he hasn't paid us any money, so you know what?
He has to pay us money for us to mention a user's name on the Wampler Tone Group on Facebook.
Why not? I think no. On the podcast, we mentioned him, Bri. Keep up, man.
So sorry.
Have you had your regular caffeine intake today?
You know, it's funny you mention that because I literally was just thinking I could go for a damn cup of coffee right now.
Yeah, you seem like you need it. You seem like you really.
I don't come into my own until that second cup of coffee. You're tweaking later in the day.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So, look, I know we're kind of running out of time.
Yes.
I do have to mention we did get some great feedback on the heavy metal episode. A lot of people seem to dig it when we had a conversation that had like a beginning, a middle, and an end because we were talking about a subject rather than trying to be the newscasters that we sometimes try to be. Especially Marcus Reeves, who pointed out that not only did Dave Davis of the Kinks invent heavy metal, but probably also punk rock as well. So that's plus one for the Brits.
Marcus Reeves from Reeves Electrical, right?
Reeves Electro. Reeves Electrical is a small firm Reeves Electro. Around the corner that will do your bathroom fan pretty cheaply.
But he builds great pedals in case anyone is
builds amazing
interested
pedals.
In guitar pedals.
We better not mention him too much because he's getting too big for his own boots. Soon he'll buy us, Brian, fire us.
Yeah. Okay. Let me do that again. Yeah, Reeves stuff. It's okay. No, it's okay.
Someone
do you think you can just, when you go to edit it, can you just play that section in reverse and it'll basically say the opposite? That's how that works, right?
Maybe. I'll flip the phase on the channel.
I think.
Yeah.
There you go. 180 degrees or 177? Everyone knows. I mean, not good enough for my ears.
179 because, 432 is the magic frequency. So therefore, 179 degrees out of phase is the magic phase number.
Also, 33 milliseconds of delay, please. Exactly.
Is that the golden ratio?
It's the golden ratio. That gives you just that nice little separation, but it still sounds together.
See, I think that's too much. I personally go with 10 to, on guitars, 10, little bit of 10 mixed in. Unless I want it super wide, then I go 15.
Well, I guess you know more than legendary producer Niles Rodgington from the UK.
No, I don't.
15 milliseconds of delay,
yeah.
Bri.
Yeah, just on one channel. It's one side.
Are you for real, fella? If it ain't 600, forget about it. Come on now, man.
No, this is just for thickness. It's just for thickness.
Yeah,
in the stereo
and your
field.
Point
I'm
is,
just saying...
I'm thicker than
in
most,
Niles'
right?
book, where he was just talking about recovering... He recorded the legendary UK acts, Billy and the Butcherman, and everybody knows that the magic number is 33. It says it right there
I would
in the
say
second
he's
paragraph.
Better at this than I am. The only reason I say that is because I noticed once you get
I didn't
past
make
about
any
25,
of this up at all. I did not at all fabricate
I think
any
Brian
of
thinks you're being serious.
I don't know. I think you're being serious. I was literally going to say that when you sub it to mono, you actually start to get some comb filtering stuff going on.
You do. It's true. Yeah.
I know about comb filtering. I read about it in a book that I wrote. Well, I say wrote, formatted. I think that's a better way of putting it.
Comb filtering?
I say formatted.
That's a great book, by the way.
It is a great book. Thank you for noticing, Bri. Yeah.
I mean, you had some, I did send you some typos.
Yes, there were typos, but
like
you may have seen
How do you put Solano instead of
you
Sedano?
May not have seen the final version. I may have let you view a pre-release version. I may have left those typos
see,
in
you,
there.
The way you said that, Brian, is like you sent him typos, like you inserted them.
No.
Like, here you go, Richard. You can have some typos. Here's some typos.
You control F, and everywhere it said Wampler, you put like, I don't know, Wampler with an O or something.
Wompler.
Wompler. Right? Am I right?
Wompler? Or is that Wompler?
Have you just had a stroke, Bri? I think you may have done. You might need to seek medical assistance.
I'm trying my damnedest not to, man. But,
Especially not if you're wet sanding at the same time. That can lead to confusion.
That's right. You don't want that happening when you're polishing your knobs. Hey, speaking of knob polishing, are we going to talk about our Patreon executive producers today? Because we got to get a Patreon on.
Hold on. I think we probably could, but I need to take a drink of this glass cleaner real quick.
Just a little side note. Don't ever try glass cleaner. Don't drink that. It's not good. Not good for you at all.
All right. I've got the pipes cleaned out.
That's a bad idea.
It gives my vocal cords a streak-free shine. What do we have here? We got some executive producers to thank.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I'm the guy to do that today because I haven't just normal Blaked it in a while, so we'll just do that. Does that work? Is that good?
Absolutely.
Okay. Big shout out to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Nighthoss, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring. I'll probably see you later this week, Sean. Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the aforementioned Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, Nick Spano, Sasha Scher, Sasha Sir. Sorry, buddy. Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, Da Crowhawk, and Dylan Lewis. Thank you, all of you wonderful, beautiful people. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And you know what? They're lucky because they get another episode this week.
Entirely different episode. Oh, that's so good.
You know,
I wish I could have a different episode.
You know what? You can if you go to patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast.
Uh-huh.
You too can have an entirely different episode. Even you.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes it's beyond mediocre.
I would say that there's times we save our best stuff for Patreon, you know?
Certainly stuff that's not fit for public consumption.
Definitely that. All right, we'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com. And Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out wamplerpedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.